Some years back, a guy had gotten some of his neighbors together to help him put up an antenna at his house. They are a burden. I've never done one, but they look awful. The guy had gotten his neighbors together, some of his friends, and they were working on the antenna. And of course, I'm sure the process is that you have to unbox it, lay it all out, and then try to figure out how to fit all the pieces together like a giant Lego set. Nonetheless, he's working on it. They were working into the afternoon, just after lunch, and it didn't seem like they were making a lot of headway. The guys were working hard, but they didn't bring along any extra tools. They just had their wrenches and their screwdrivers. And a little after lunch, after they had gotten some of the pieces together, but were thinking it was going to take into the next day to get it finished, another person in the neighborhood, the newest guy who'd moved in, came walking down the sidewalk and walked into their yard, and with him he carried power tools. That's right. By the time that dinner had was being prepared and laid out, they had their antenna already assembled and already mounted to the house, ready to go. The guys were congratulating themselves, talking about how good it was and how easy and how nice and how glad they were to get to know everybody and talk to everyone. And one of the guys in the group turned to the new guy and said, "Why do you need all these fancy tools? What is it you make with these?" And the guy simply responded, "Friends." Jesus is maybe like that. He provides all the necessary tools, invites us to do the work, and in the process, we become friends of his. Let's pray as we get started this morning. Lord Jesus, we are thankful for your words and your teachings that you gave to your apostles. We're thankful that they are recorded for us that we might learn from them and understand them, and that we might know what our relationship with you is all about. Lord, we pray as we dive into the passages this morning that you would illumine our hearts and minds, that we might see you and your will more clearly. It's in your name we pray. Amen. John chapter 15, verses 13 through 16. "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." With these words, Jesus is talking to his disciples there at the very end of his earthly ministry, speaking to them about what their next steps and their next choices are going to be about. And in this passage, Jesus talks about his friendship with them, and he begins by talking about his love for his friends. Jesus loves and cares for those who are his friends. It may seem unusual to use that word in description of a relationship with Jesus. Some of us, I think, use that word all the time, talking about Jesus as our friend or our best friend. But I'm not sure how easily it would have come to the apostles and the disciples to use that word at that point. But God has friends. God has people with whom he has a friendship. Specifically, God repeatedly names Abraham as one of his friends. Isaiah 41, verse 8. "But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend." 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7. "Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend?" And then lastly, in James chapter 2, verse 23. "The scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Abraham is repeatedly referred to as God's friend, but so is David and a few others in Scripture. These people were friends of his. Jesus, here in this passage in chapter 15 of John, he's explaining that his disciples are also his friends. And what he says about his friendship with them has to do with the extent of his love and his care. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus loves his friends so much. Abraham, David, saints of old, disciples of today, that he's going to the cross here in just the next few hours to die for them. Jesus is explaining that his death, his crucifixion, is for his friends, those whom he loves and those who love him, these friends of his. Jesus is willing to die and lose his life in an incredibly painful way, because ultimately that death is going to provide eternal life to them. He calls them friends, and he is willing to lay down his life for them. As Jesus continues after that verse, he gives a couple of explanations about the transformation that these disciples have made into his friends. D.A. Carson, in describing these words, says this. He quotes first, "You are my friends if you do what I command. This obedience is not what makes them friends. It is the characteristics of his friends." D.A. Carson is making a very important point here, that obedience and doing what Jesus commands is a symptom of being a friend, not what God has required as a predisposition. The point being that just by obedience and following the commands, that does not in and of itself make us friends of Jesus. But those who are friends of his do what he commands. Here is the disciples are getting their last little bit of training, their last little bit of teaching before Jesus goes to the cross. We might expect that what he tells them is that they are changing from being students to being teachers. It is true that that is a change that is going to happen in their lives. They have been under Jesus' teaching for 3.5 years, and it is graduation day. For 3.5 years, they have heard his parables and watched his life and lived with him. And in those 3.5 years, they have absorbed all of these things that he has taught and explained. And it would be natural for us to come to the conclusion that Jesus is telling them that they're graduating to become the teachers and professors of who is coming after, who will follow and believe later. The training of the 12 is coming to an end. But Jesus uses a different structure, a different set of words. Jesus says he no longer calls them servants. They are being changed from a status of a servant into a friend. To be a servant of God is no put down, though. The people of old and the saints of the Old Testament are repeatedly referred to and commented about as being servants of God, servants of the Most High. It was not some meager little status point. In fact, there is an explanation that makes a lot of sense, because in a household, you have the family and then you have the servants in antiquity. They were part of God's house. They were part of his family, these servants of his. And yet God is elevating those servants so that they can also be his friends. That does not mean that they become Jesus's equal, for he will evermore be Lord, Savior, God and King. Here's how A.W. Tozer addresses it in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy. He says, God's love tells us that he is friendly, and his word assures us that he is our friend and wants us to be his friends. No man with a trace of humility would first think that he is a friend of God, but the idea did not originate with men. Abraham would never have said, I am God's friend, but God himself said that Abraham was his friend. The disciples might have hesitated to claim friendship with Christ, but Christ said to them, ye are my friends. Modesty may demur at so rash a thought, but audacious faith dares to believe the word and claim friendship with God. God is in the habit of taking servants of his, followers and believers, and making them into his friends. How does that change happen? How did they change from being servants into being friends? R.C. Sproul describes it this way. Jesus was confiding to them the deepest things his Father had confided to him. Jesus was confiding in them the deepest things his Father had confided to him. Jesus has told these disciples some of the deepest, most hidden things about God and his plan for the world. What was a mystery in the Old Testament, what was unknown back then for those saints, what was not really revealed, has now been told to them. And so Jesus has brought these disciples into the deepest confidence of the Trinity, the deepest truths that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit have known among themselves. We see evidence of God's friendship with Abraham as Abraham is going along and the Lord is walking with him. The Lord says to the angels nearby, shall we hide from him the things that we are going to do? And they say, God says, no. We are going to reveal these hidden things to Abraham. Abraham then pleads with the Lord. He intercedes for the people that are there. The Lord revealed to Abraham the truth about what he was about to do. And in a similar way, Jesus has revealed to the disciples the truth of what he is about to do. The deepest truths of God have been revealed to them, so that now they understand and know the truths about salvation, that God's plan was to send his Son so that he might die on the cross for all mankind and all who would put their faith in him. Jesus has revealed the deep truths of grace and faith, that this salvation is not by the works that we do, but by the given grace of God, a free giving to us, through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus has revealed to them the nature of worship and what God really wants from us, which is not burnt offerings, but hearts worshiping in truth. God has revealed to them how to have a right relationship with the Father and with fellow men. And Jesus Christ has revealed to them God's plan for the ends of the world. These disciples have been brought into the deepest truths that can be revealed, the hidden things of God that were waiting to be shown to them by the Son. In this way, Jesus has brought them into an understanding that has gone beyond what others have known. They have now received the understanding that they need because they are now being moved from being servants who do not know to being friends in whom he has confided. Friends who he has explained to them the deep truths that they need for serving him. You Christians, you believers, those deep truths have been passed on to us, shared in Scripture and taught by the church, so that we might too know the things of God, that we might know these deep truths of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and so that we too might be friends of his. What is the effect of this transformation? What is it that's happening in us? Psalm 40, verse 8 begins this way. I desire to do your will, O God. A servant doesn't know the master's will. Just the little tiny instructions given about the moments and the days, but not the big picture. We have been given the opportunity to know God's big plans, the things that he is up to and the direction that he is going. One pastor writes this concerning John chapter 15. He says, our Lord in this passage puts his finger upon what is lacking in the service of many of his followers. They are absolutely conscientious. They have a strong and unflinching sense of duty. They would no more neglect their obligation to God than their responsibilities to their own flesh and blood. They live ever in the taskmaster's sight. Still, they have an unpleasant feeling that they have not discovered the secret to what makes the yoke easy and the burden light. They confess to themselves, if not to others, that they find the service of God somewhat irksome. They scarcely realize the meaning of the words, to do thy will, O Lord, I take delight. But Christ has something more to give. Christianity is not merely a divine service. It is a divine service transfigured by a divine friendship. Our work for the Lord can feel burdensome and heavy, that so much is asked of us and so many things are required, that we can serve without joy but simply serve out of duty in a heart that gets crushed in the process. But what Jesus is offering to us is a joy in the work, an understanding of the big picture of what we're doing, so that we might share in his joy and service, so that the yoke might be easy and the burden light. What transforms that understanding and that change of service is friendship with him. When we realize that he is near and that he cares and loves us. The burden of the work melts away. In order for us to be in that sort of mindset and understand the relationship, we have to know the deep truths. We have to know those things that Jesus taught those disciples. Because without that understanding and that depth of relationship, working for God feels heavy and hard. Jesus is transforming servants into friends. And then he sends those friends to do the work. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. This is ultimately the purpose for our relationship with Him. Jesus is bringing His conversation full circle. He began this sermon by talking about the vine and the branches and the fruit that needs to be produced. Examples of that fruit include loving one's neighbor and caring for those who are poor. Examples of that fruit involve teaching God's word. Examples of that fruit include sharing the gospel with other people so that they too might be saved. Jesus calls His friends to work. He calls on them to share in His ministry and His choices and to understand the deep truths. In the 20th century, about 100 years ago now, prominent Christian writers like C.S. Lewis and George MacDonald wrote about friendship with God in a way that was refreshing. Often they compared it to a great adventure where the more we get to know the Lord and His teaching and put it into practice, the more the relationship with the Lord also deepens. Just like friendships blossom over shared adventures, our bond with Christ strengthens through moments of service, joy, and even trials, turning our faith into a cherished journey of friendship. It is through the work of the kingdom that we are transferred and transformed into friends of Jesus. You see, He brings everything that we need. Jesus invites us into friendship. And if you ask what you can be for Jesus, be His friend. Lord, Your words give so much comfort. And help us to know that we are not just slaves toiling away, but that You cherish us and love us as friends. That You have loved us so much that You died for us. Lord, we pray that we would be reminded day after day about the deep relationship that You want to have. And Lord, help us as we try to know and understand those things that You taught, as we try to follow You and obey Your words and commands, so that we might show that we are truly Your disciples. Lord, help us bear fruit. Amen.